Blog Talk Radio.
Google, we got Kingdom greetings and welcome to TDM, Tamayo Deliverance Ministry Sunday Fellowship. There was a song that was placed in my spirit. I'm going to give you a little taste of it. And this is by Reverend Milton Bingham. What a fellowship. Just a little, because remember, can't give you a whole lot. It's okay for you to clap along. We are leaning, safe and secure. All right, now that's all I can give you. You should still have it in your spirit. Keep it going. Keep it going. I am so glad to be here with you, you, and especially you. We're going to have our opening prayer by Deacon Cleo Guyon.
Father God, we give you thanks for another day of mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for those that are assembled here today, Father God, under the sound of my voice to hear the word that's coming forth, that it may enrich us and bold us to go about and do your will and have your perfect way today, Father God, in this service, that you may get the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, today I just hope to give you words of encouragement. We're going to talk about don't faint. Don't faint. We know that the world is always changing, but the word of God remains the same. You know, some seasons in our lives seems harder than others. It seems like we can't even see a silver lining in the midst of the turmoil. But we know we have a Savior that is able to keep us from falling. Psalm 27 and 13 says, I fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Anybody else ever felt like they were in a pressure cooker? And if you don't know what a pressure cooker is, it's a pot where you can put your cannings in so that it'll seal the lid and keep what you have preserved nice and preserved, for lack of a better word. Or sometimes people use pressure cooker to cook their food quickly. And I can think of, as a little girl, my grandmother used to, they would say, can their food for the winter. We harvest all summer, and then the greens and okra and tomato and all the other stuff, they put it in a can, put it in the pressure cooker, and it sealed it really tight. And the thing about the pressure cooker is that it gets so hot, you see the steam coming out of it. And you know at a certain time when you hear a little pop, you know that canning is ready to come out and cool down. You know, sometimes I can even think of times where I felt like I was a hamster on the wheel, going in a circle but going someplace. But I realized the only place I was going in is the same circle because nothing changed. So life comes to just give us all of these different scenarios. But we know that, again, we're only passing through. this is not our home. This world is not our home. We are preparing ourselves for heaven. But in our preparation, and as we're passing through, we're going to experience life on this side of heaven. We know the old saying that says, trouble doesn't last always. I remember as a little girl hearing that, trouble doesn't last always. So that tells me trouble coming. Whether I'm ready for it or not, trouble going to come. But we have that blessed assurance that knowing that our Savior is going to keep us from falling. And the thing that God is saying to us, don't faint. Don't even worry if you are that can in the pressure cooker, or you that meat in that pressure cooker and that heat getting real hot. Just don't faint. The reality of it is that you're going to come out. You're going to come out nice and ready and strong and plump and meaty and tasty, you know, because God is going to make sure at that appointed time when that lid pop and say, we ready, you coming out, but you just can't faint. John, if you have your Bible, fine. If you don't, that's fine, because I'm going to give you the scripture, and then I'm going to read it. First John 5:19 says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. I'm going to read that again. 1 John 5:19 says, we know. So in other words, there is no doubt. We know that we are children of God. We confessed our sins to him. We said that we're given life to Christ. That means that we are his child. We are his children. And that the world as we know it belongs to Satan, because we already know in his word that he's only controlling this word at a point in time. And then guess what? The second coming is coming, and Satan going down. Yes, he is. We already know this. It's in the word. You know that he's going to hell. That's it. It was prepared just for him. But we also know, and I'm just going to give you another variation of John, 1 John 5:19, that we are of God, and this is the King James, and the whole world lies in wickedness. So heaven is pure, and that's where we all want to go to. But as we're on this side of heaven, we're living this world, but we're not conformed to this world. We're only passing through, because this world belongs to him. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, in other words, you got an enemy. Don't look at the people on your job. Don't look at the people that you hang with, because they've been your enemy too. But just know you got somebody that his whole purpose is to destroy you. And that is in 1 Peter 5:8. That's just one of the scriptures. We have others. But it says, your adversary, the devil. Look, God, call him out. I don't want you to, in other words, like God is saying, I don't want you to think about, is it my nosy neighbor that's my adversary? May or may not be. Is it a relative of mine? May or may not be. Is it somebody I work with, somebody in the church? May or may not be. But this time, I don't want you to faint, because guess what? This is all Satan's doing. So he's saying your adversary, the devil, prowls around. In other words, he just looking. He roaming. Let me see who I'm going to get today. You know, he's thinking, oh, I think there's an opening there. I'm going over there. So he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So he's not even a lion. He's just a wimp. But he's looking for an opportunity where you fainted. In other words, you've let your guard down. You're not as strong as you used to be. Remember when we first got saved, man, we could conquer the world. I used to say, bring it on, Satan. And then Satan started to bring some stuff. I'm like, hold up. Wait a minute. Let me think this thing. You know, when you're young in Christ, man, you feel like I felt, I'll say with me, I can't say it with you, I can say it with me. I felt like Muhammad Ali. I felt like I was 6'3", and I was like, oh, I'm a boxer, and I'm just going to take the enemy down. But I realized he couldn't touch me because I didn't have any openings. I wasn't fearful. I just felt like I was on top of the world and God was with me and he's going to give me the power to just slap the devil crazy from left to right. But as I grew in Christ, I realized I didn't even have all the tools, and it was the angels of the Lord protecting me. But the one thing we have in common, all of us, is that the adversary, the devil, his job is to come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And if he can wear you down, all he needs is a little opening. So that's why Psalm 27, when God gave this to me, he says, look, I fainted, not God fainted, but he was telling me, he says, I'd fainted unless I had believed. See, believe something to see the goodness. Because when you are in that steamer, you're in that steaming pot, that pressure cooker, you ain't thinking about, I'm waiting to get out of here to see the goodness. You just want to get out. When I was on that wheel just to spin and think I'm going someplace, I wanted to get off the wheel after a while because I realized I kept going in a circle. Nothing was changing, not even my direction, because I couldn't even conceive to go backwards. I just kept going round and around and around. But the Lord was like, don't faint. I don't want you to lose hope. I don't want you to lose your strength. I don't want you to give up. Because once you give up, you're saying God is not God. You're saying he is not sovereign. You're saying he doesn't have all powers. So don't faint. So what happens if you faint? I have two things. He only gave me two things. There was a list of things he wanted me to share. But he only gave me two things to tell you about. This is what happens when you faint. First, you make bad decisions. Or, excuse me, you make bad or wrong decisions is what he said. Bad or wrong decisions. Because why? You're not thinking in your right mind. Your strength is not there. Go with me to Genesis. And if you ever want to find anything, like, I don't know. I think I'm the only person that's ever gone through this. No, you're wrong. If you're going through it, it already happened in Genesis. Genesis, the 25th chapter. And let me just get there. Genesis 25, and you already know this. And this is when you make the wrong decision. 25, starting at verse 29. And I'm going to read it. Excuse me, first from the NIV, and then I'll finish it off with the King James. It says, and Jacob, excuse me, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. In other words, he was faint. Remember, faint. He'd already lost his strength. He was just hopeless. He was tired. Keep that in mind. Verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. He's lost his strength. He is just tired. He's in despair. Therefore was his name called Eden. Now that's a whole nother story. We'll talk about that another time, but today is not the day. So here he's asking Jacob to give him something to eat quickly. He wants it quick. He don't want to wait. Verse 31 says, And Jacob said, check this out now. Jacob, I like Jacob. Jacob is the man. See, sometimes when you're not standing, you see the opportunities coming. And so Jacob recognized an opportunity for himself. And he says this, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Let's pause. Not for a commercial break, but let's just pause and talk about this. Back in the days, the oldest child received the birthright. And that was the inheritance from the father. And if you were the second, you're going to get something, but you're not going to get the same thing as that eldest. And Jacob was not the eldest. Esau was. But he realized, I think I can make this thing work for me. Doesn't take much to make stew. I know I'm a good cook. But you know what? You want what I have? Sell me what's really precious to you, what I will never get, and that is your birthright. And the second thing I want to point out, now that's just Jacob, but look at Esau. Esau knows that Jacob will never get the birthright. He'll never get all the stuff, you know, maybe give him a little, I don't know, the clothing, maybe the car. But look, I got the land, I got the house, I got the bank account, I got it all. But he doesn't even want that. He's so faint that he'd give it all up just for something to satisfy his appetite. It's not going to help him the next morning, because the next morning he's going to wake up hungry. It's just enough food to satisfy you right now. That's why God is saying, we're going to pause for a little second longer. God is saying, I don't want you to faint. I don't want you to lose strength. I don't want you to lose hope, because you're going to lose more than what is happening right now. Yes, you might be in that pressure cooker. You might be bubbling. You might be sweating bullets, but guess what? Trouble don't last always. You ain't going to be in that pressure cooker forever. You only going to be there long enough for me to get them things out of you that I want out of you. See, the Bible says, and I believe it's in James, the first chapter, 7th, 8th verse, somewhere along those lines, that tells us that we should be happy when trouble comes our way. Why? Because it's only coming to perfect us. It's only coming to make those things in us to be attributes like God. Let me flip there right quick, because I feel that I need to point this out. Is James, the first chapter, and I keep seeing verse 8. So everybody, hold on. Let's get there. Because God is telling us, don't faint. Don't you dare do it. And don't listen to what people tell you. Well, you know I went through that, and it's okay if you don't make it, because if they tell you don't make it, run, because they don't have your best interest at heart. You know, God says he desires the best thing for us, but he also told us that trouble gonna come. Now, how you stand is truly up to you. Well, hold on. I think I gotta go a little bit up. It starts with verse 2, and then we're going to end with verse 8. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Count it all joy when things happen. Count it all joy when it seems like everybody is against you. Count it all joy when you start losing things, or what you think you're losing things because God taking things away from you. Why? Because the Bible says it's all working together for good. Yeah, think of Job. Job lost a whole lot of stuff. He lost his children, lost the cattle, couldn't get rid of the wife, but that's a whole nother thing. But he lost things that was dear to him. But in the very end, the Bible says that God restored double for his trouble. He got more than what he had, and, you know, and even better. Not to say his kids were bad, but if you read Job in the beginning, Job was the one going and asking God, you know, forgive my children if they had sinned when they were having these parties. Forgive them if they said something was against you. This is what Job did for his kids. His kids should have had enough knowledge of God to do it on their own. Skipping on down to verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Remember, Psalm 27 and 13 says, I fainted unless I believed, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You can't say you believe if you double-minded. Well, the day I believe him, oh, the wind is blowing. Oh, I don't know if God's going to do it. You're double-minded. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be steadfast and unmovable on his word. We know his word will never change. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. Now, back to Esau and Jacob. I think I was on verse number 32. And then 33 says, and Jacob says, swear to me this day, and I swear unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob for a little bit of beef stew. No, it wasn't beef stew. Bible says it was pottage. So for just a meal, he sold his birthright. So the one thing, the first thing that we said that let me go back to my page. We said number one, what happens when you faint? One, we says you make bad or wrong decisions. The second thing that happens is that you set yourself up for an attack, either spiritually or naturally. And if you take the time, and I'm just going to sum it up, when we look at, I believe it's Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, when Deuteronomy 25, when Israel was being harassed by the Amalek, and they were so, they were just so double-minded, they forgot about all the good things that God had done, that they turned around and became hopeless. They became an easy target because they were going here and there, wavering in what God is capable of doing. So when you allow yourself to faint, you become open target for people to harass you, for things to happen. You know, if, and I think of, you know, if at this point in your life, in the cycle of life, because we all go through a cycle. Remember, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to rejoice and a time to sorrow. There's going to be a time where your harvest is coming in, and there's going to be a time when you are in drought. And maybe this is your drought season, and all of a sudden, you're not living from paycheck to paycheck, because the paycheck don't even work. You living from a half a paycheck to a half a paycheck to a half a paycheck until you get a whole paycheck, and every creditor is calling you. When I say creditor, I'm talking about the light company, the water company, you know, the cable company. You know, they're all bothering you, and all of a sudden, you lose sight of things. I really don't need my cable. I can let that go for right now. I really don't need to eat name brand food. I could just learn how to get the store brand and just read the labels to make sure it is healthy for me. There are things that God has given us, the wisdom, okay, and his trust that he will lead and guide us to make sure that we have exactly what we need to have. And then the third thing, when you faint, it causes you, if you don't watch it, to fall into depression, suppression, and oppression. Daniel, the 8th chapter and the 27th verse, Daniel 8 and 27 says, I, Daniel, was worn out. Daniel fainted. With everything that was going on, he just fainted. He says, I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. Then I got up and was about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. So when we go through these things, not always is it a physical thing. It can be a spiritual thing that you're going through. You may have some troubling dreams that God is showing you to warn you about different things. And it just gets to you that you just feel overwhelmed. But you've got to remember that if God gave it to you, he knows you can handle it. God will never allow anything to overtake you. He'll never let anything to destroy you. But what he will do, he will put you, think of yourself as an olive. He'll put you in that olive press, and he will press you and press you and press you until the only thing coming out of you is his oil. And all the junk stays in that contraction that pressed the oil out of you. So how can you overcome? One, 1 Peter 5 and 17 says, cast all your cares upon him. Cast your burden upon him, for he cares for you. Take up his yoke, take up his burden, because it is easy and it is light. The second thing is Revelation 12 and 11. You can overcome by testifying of God's goodness. Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See, when you talk about God's goodness and you talk about the things that he has brought you out of, it helps somebody else as they're in that pressure cooker. And going back to the pressure cooker as a young child, I watched my grandmother when she realized that, you know, one of the jar lid wasn't on tight, and she knows that that jar is going to be a mess. So it's not going to meet the excellency that she's looking for. So she finally went in, took it out, screwed it back on, and he was, or that little jar was going to be in the next batch. What God will do with you, because he don't want you to faint. He will allow people to come in your life and just give you words of encouragement so that you can go on, take a little rest in him. Psalm 91, and I can't remember the verses, but I know it's Psalm 91 that says that you can dwell under the feathers of the Almighty. You can dwell underneath his arm. You can dwell there in his safety. And this is what God will do. He will let you dwell there with him. So we bless God for the word today. We thank him. I want to say this to you. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you don't even know who he is. You've heard people talk about him, but you don't know. It's like I hear them talk about God. I don't know nothing about him. Well, guess what? All you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. It is that simple. Confess in your heart. Look, God, I done messed up. I done made so many mistakes. I feel like I'm not even worthy of you. But I know somewhere in the Bible, I don't know where it's at because I don't even know how to read the Bible. But you said that you hear the cries of a sinner. And Father, I'm crying out to you asking that you would save me, that you would wash me afresh, that you would take the dirt off of me and just clothe me in righteousness. I am giving my life to you. If this is you, call the church's line at 985-788-7530. Somebody is there, and they will pray with you. You know, it's better to be in the kingdom than out the kingdom, because at least you have some protection from him, because he will keep you from falling. All right, until the next time, this is Apostle Siobhan Simmons. God bless you, and have an awesome, awesome day in the Lord, and remember, with Christ, nothing is impossible. Shalom.